This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Hello, and welcome to Radioactive Theater, which presents quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program is Fleming, a comic mystery by Sam Bobrick. The Flemings, Henry and Karen and their children, are a well-to-do family living in a large suburban English-style home in Westport, Connecticut. Henry informs his wife that he has sold the family business and he is planning to be a detective. He has bought the Acme Plaza Detective Agency from the Martigan brothers and even has a permit for a gun. Karen thinks he should talk to their neighbor, who is a psychiatrist. The next evening, Henry comes staggering into the living room where Karen is entertaining the neighbors, Stan and Susie. He has been beaten and is in sorry shape, but refuses to have them call the police. He inquires about a Mr. Peterson calling. When a black limousine pulls up outside, Henry quickly departs. The next day, Henry shows up even more battered than before, as Henry is promising his father that he will not jeopardize his family or get anyone else involved. A shot rings out, and his father slumps to the floor. After his funeral, no one seems too concerned about his death, assuming that as a banker, he made a lot of enemies. As is their custom, an assortment of cocktail choices are offered to everyone as the scene opens.
You've had a trying day, Karen. Let me fix you a drink.
Yes, thank you. I'd like one.
Martini?
No, scotch and soda.
Right.
I'd like one, too.
Martini?
No. Kahlua and 7-Up.
Poor father. He was such a charming, contented man.
They say they're always the first to go.
Well, at least there's one consolation. The coroner said he didn't know what hit him.
Yes, and that is a comfort.
Why would someone want to kill such a sweet, dear man?
Dad was a banker. It seems when you deal with fluctuating interest rates, you make a lot of enemies. Anyway, it's over, and I need to put it behind me.
That's a very positive attitude. Only a nutcase lives in the past, although at times I miss the 80s.
It was nice of the glass company to come right out and fix the window, wasn't it?
Yes, they were very good. I'll use them again. This is odd.
What?
Today's mail. There's a package that came for Henry. His name and our address are made of cut-up letters from a newspaper.
Open it.
No, it's addressed to Henry.
So what? You're his wife. It's community property.
No, I couldn't. We agreed on our wedding night that one's mail is one's mail.
Then let me. I'll just tell him that it came to my house and I opened it by mistake. I do that all the time.
Henry! Look at him. He's a wreck.
Should I let him in?
Oh, of course.
Men are such little boys.
Hi, Henry. How's it going?
Oh, Henry, I'm so glad to see you. Father's been killed.
I know. Did you get my flowers?
Yes. I meant to ask you about them. Why black orchids?
The florist was from Haiti. He assured me they brought good luck. How are the children?
Fine. Brent is over at Melissa's and Michael's bowling. I didn't want them to go to the funeral. There's enough death and dying in the world without exposing them to the real thing. Susie is preparing some drinks, Henry. Care for one?
Actually, I would.
Martini?
No, a salty dog.
It's on its way.
I see you had the window fixed.
How did you know about the window, Henry?
I was here when it got shot out. The bullet that struck your father down was meant for me, I'm sure of it.
You mean someone was trying to kill you?
It appears that way.
Maybe one day you should go to work with Henry, Stan.
Karen, has Mr. Peterson called today?
No, and there's nothing on the answering machine.
That's strange.
Oh, but you did get this. It came in the mail today.
Really?
Open it, Henry. I'm dying to see what's in it.
Come on, Stan. It's addressed to me.
A black book. What's in it, Henry?
Nothing important.
What do you mean, nothing important? Nobody cuts out your name and address from pieces of newspaper for nothing important.
It's nothing I can discuss now, Stan.
You're on to something, Henry. What is it?
Henry, we've put up with your secretive attitude long enough. I demand to know what's going on.
Me too.
Please, Karen, I'd rather you not get involved.
Henry, my father's been killed. How can I not be involved?
Karen, as your husband, I'm asking you to trust me.
Happy hour!
Frankly, I don't understand how things got rolling so fast. You've only been a detective for a few days.
Intriguing, isn't it?
Things were going along so nicely, and then suddenly my world starts falling apart. Why, Henry? And for what?
Karen, just be aware of this. I'm very happy. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm actually significant.
Henry, I'm really starting to get fed up with this whole stupid, at least I'm happy, attitude. There are other people in the world besides you.
I'm sorry, dear. It's just I've come into contact with certain emotions I've never felt before. It takes a bit of adjusting. Now, I need to go upstairs and pack. I'm afraid I'm going to be out of town for a few days.
Oh, no. Where are you going?
St. Louis.
You mean this case involves traveling?
Looks that way. Sorry about your father, Karen.
Oh, by the way, Henry, have you given our Acapulco trip any more thought?
For the last time, Stan, I absolutely don't intend to go with you to Acapulco or anywhere else.
Something's eating him.
Men are such little boys.
Men are such little boys. Men are such little boys. At times, Susie, you can be such a twit.
I didn't mean it in a derogatory way. I meant it to be, well, motherly.
That doesn't make it better. I hate my mother.
You hate everyone.
At least I don't discriminate.
Please, Stan, Susie, I think all our nerves are a little frayed.
It's that damn husband of yours. Somehow he's going to start to make us feel less important than he is. I'll get it.
I hope it's not a condolence call. I just couldn't stand to be cheered up right now.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Mr. Fleming.
No, he's upstairs, and if you're a salesman or a guy collecting for charity, we're not interested, and don't bother going next door either. They own a pit bull.
Police. May I come in?
Police.
Mrs. Fleming?
Yes?
How do you do? I'm Lieutenant Davis. I'd like to talk to you.
Is it about my father?
No. What's wrong with your father?
Nothing now. He's dead.
Really? Sorry to hear that. Anyway, I'm not on that case. I've come to talk to your husband, Mrs. Fleming.
May I ask about what?
About the disappearance of a Mr. Carl Peterson.
I'll bet that's the Peterson case.
What about the Peterson case?
Well, we really don't know much about it, except it seems to be ruining Henry's wardrobe.
Karen, have you seen my overnight bag?
Oh, Henry, this is the lieutenant.
Davis.
Yes, I'm sorry. He's with the police department. He also seems to be on the Peterson case.
Say, Henry, did you know Mr. Peterson is missing?
Really?
May I get you a drink, Lieutenant?
Yes, thank you.
Martini?
No. Do you know how to make a bull shot?
Of course.
Well, that would be fine.
Karen, my overnight bag?
Oh, let's see. It's probably in the little cupboard under the stairs.
Thank you.
Going somewhere, Mr. Fleming?
Henry's going to St. Louis. Maybe you can tell him where he can get a good donut.
Stan, I wish you'd stay out of this.
Just trying to be helpful, Henry.
Then go home.
No!
I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind, Mr. Fleming.
Can we do this at some other time, Lieutenant? I have a plane to catch.
Where's Peterson?
How would I know?
Well, he's your client, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Then where is he?
I don't know.
Well, I'd like a better answer than that.
So would I.
Well, let's not play games, Fleming.
Damn it, I'm not playing games, Lieutenant. As of this moment, I have no idea where he is, who he is, or what he is.
Really? God, I don't think you're much of a detective after all, Henry.
If what you say is true, Fleming, I'm almost inclined to agree with Mr. Spencer.
Dr. Stan Spencer. This is my wife, Susie. We live next door. It hasn't been easy.
I've taken Peterson on as a client, but I've never met him. All our dealings were by phone. Now I must go.
I'd like to know what kind of trouble he's in.
Trouble? I said nothing about him being in trouble. Is he in trouble, Lieutenant? Maybe you should be the one telling me what you know. You say you're checking in on his disappearance. May I ask for whom?
I'm here to ask the questions, Fleming.
I'm sorry. I have nothing to tell you.
Look at this. I want you to study the face. If this turns out to be the man you're working for, I want you to get in touch with me immediately.
Is this photo of Peterson?
That's right.
He's naked.
Let me see. Wow! I bet he had no trouble getting girlfriends.
Give me that.
I'm not done looking.
It's very important for me to know what you know, Fleming.
There's nothing I can tell you at this time.
What about the black book you got in the mail today, Henry?
What black book?
It has nothing to do with Peterson. Damn it, go home, Stan.
No!
There's something wrong, Fleming. I feel it. Something wrong about you, about your story. One thing I have is good instincts.
That's wonderful, Lieutenant. You should have a brilliant career on the force, then. Goodbye, Karen. Give the kids my best. I'd better take my raincoat.
Oh, my God!
Jeez!
I knew it! It's Peterson! Peterson, damn it!
He doesn't look as good with his clothes on.
Henry, the letter opener in his chest. Isn't that the one I gave you for Christmas?
I believe so.
Henry, he's holding your business card in his hand. This is not a very good way to treat your first client.
I think you'd better come with me, Fleming.
Oh, no.
Maybe not.
Henry! You forgot your coat!
It was a beautiful funeral. It really was.
I hope so.
Oh, sure. I liked it even better than your father's. It seemed to go along much faster. Your father's dragged on and on.
Well, Father went first class. They always make those longer. Mr. Peterson, we sent along coach.
Well, I thought it was very nice of you to have the funeral for Mr. Peterson.
It was the least I could do. The poor man had no one to claim him. And then with Henry's involvement, I kind of felt responsible.
Poor Mr. Peterson. No one to mourn him but us. Three perfect strangers.
No, not really. Lieutenant Davis showed up.
Did he?
Just for a moment, during the minister's eulogy, when I had to go to the bathroom, I saw him standing in the back. He seemed to be very upset, very sad.
That's strange.
Yes, and then he saw me and ducked out.
May I fix anyone a drink?
Good idea.
How about three big martinis?
No, I'd like a vermouth cassis.
Can you make me a Red Russian? That's vodka and strawberry soda.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't taste very good, but the color cheers me up.
I wonder who could have killed Mr. Peterson and why?
Oh, come on. It had to be Henry.
What would be his motive?
Who knows? I always thought Henry had a dark side. Sometimes when my back was turned, I had the feeling he was making faces at me. You don't get that impression from someone who is well.
I was a little disappointed that this case didn't make the papers.
Oh, grow up. If they were to print every murder that happened in the city, there'd be no room for the news. Holy cow! Look at that!
Henry!
Hello, Karen. Nice to be home again.
Gee, Henry, I didn't know you had a secret passageway in your house.
These older homes are full of surprises. How are the children?
Fine. Brenda's over at Kelly's and Michael went on a campout. Henry, you had us all worried to death. Why haven't you called? You've been missing for almost a week now. Care for a martini?
No, thanks. Maybe a glass of Chardonnay.
If you like, dear.
Where have you been, Henry? The police have been looking all over St. Louis for you.
I wasn't in St. Louis. I was in Miami. That little black book I received in the mail changed my plans. I think I should be able to fit the pieces together now.
What pieces, Henry? You did it, and that's that. I'll put money on it.
I didn't do it. I told you. I've never even met Peterson.
I don't buy that, and neither will the law. Why would you kill a man you never met? I know I wouldn't.
Exactly. And why would someone want to make it seem like I did? It was all too simple, don't you see?
By the way, Henry, that's a terrific-looking suit. You actually look quite attractive in it.
Thank you. I picked it up in Miami. It does look good on me, doesn't it? I ordered four more just like it.
Stan can never wear white. He has a tendency to be a pig when he eats.
Did anyone call while I was away?
No, but Lieutenant Davis stopped by several times to see if we heard from you.
I assumed he would. Did you speak to him at any length?
Not really, but he's a very nice man. He has three cats.
I hate cats, especially when they lick you. Their tongues are like sandpaper.
And Miss Havenhurst, your secretary, called several times.
Did she?
She sounds amazingly youthful. Even Stan noticed it.
Anyone else?
No, that was all. Henry, did you do it?
Kill Mr. Peterson? What do you think?
Well, of course not. Still, the murder weapon had your fingerprints on it.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, it surprised me. Henry, you must put an end to this. You've always been a proper citizen. You've always obeyed the law, paid your taxes. You never littered or jaywalked.
I was a regular goody-two-shoes, wasn't I?
It was very daring of you to come here, Henry. I'm sure this house is being watched.
I had the chance. I needed money.
Why? You have a checkbook and plenty of credit cards.
I can't use them. They could be traced.
I'm not lending you 1 cent, Henry. Once you're in prison, I know you'll never pay me back.
Fortunately, I am amply prepared for just such an occasion.
Oh, my! I didn't know we had a wall safe there.
Yes, I've been meaning to mention it to you. Ah, here we are.
Wow, look at all that cash. And I've been telling people that you're living hand to mouth.
What are you going to do now, Henry?
Karen, do you love me?
I'm sure I do.
Good. If Lieutenant Davis comes looking for me again, don't tell him I was here.
I've never had to lie to anyone. I'm not sure I'd be convincing. This situation is so terribly confusing, Henry. Maybe I'm the wrong woman for you at this time in your life.
Nonsense.
By the way, Henry, the police have narrowed my father's death down to either a random drive-by shooting or a possible suicide.
Good, good. Hello, can you tell me what time your next available flight leaves for Chicago?
Try to use our frequent flyer miles if you can, dear.
6 p.m. Fine. Can you put me on it?
Chicago. I hate that town. Susie's family lives there.
They treat you very nicely.
What are you talking about? Your mother hit me with a baseball bat and your father ran over me with his car.
Yes, but at the hospital they brought you candy.
Come on, I'm trying to make a call here.
You're not the only one in this house, Henry.
My name? Yes, it's Wabash. Harry Wabash. W-A-B-A-S-H.
Harry Wabash. I like that. It's a much better name for a detective than Henry Fleming.
No, leave the return open. I'm not sure when I'm coming back. I'll pay for the ticket at the airport. Right. Thank you.
I think I'd like another drink. How about you, Henry?
Sorry, no, I have to go.
I'll have another Red Russian. Only make it with sake this time.
Henry, you just got home. At least stay to see the children.
I'm sorry, Karen. I can't. I'm sure they'll understand.
Now, who can that be?
We'll soon find out, won't we?
Henry, I won't stand for any shooting. We have a lot of nice things that can be broken.
Open the door, Karen.
God, I'm really starting to find guns quite attractive. They make my heart beat faster.
Please, Karen, the door.
Yes, of course. Wait a minute, dear. What if the person who's at the door has a gun, too? If he shoots and then you shoot, I'd be in the crossfire. Does that make good sense to you?
You're right. Stan, open the door.
Up yours, Henry.
Never mind. I'll get it.
Henry, this is not my idea of a quality afternoon.
Hello, Mrs. Fleming. May I come in?
Oh, Lieutenant Davis. Actually, another time might be better.
Hello, Lieutenant. Guess who's here? His initials are HF.
Karen, when this is all over, we are moving away from this moron.
I'll miss you.
Hello, Fleming. I had a hunch you'd show up here today.
A hunch is not too far removed from a lucky guess.
I'm a patient man, but I do expect some answers.
Patient? You? Now really, Lieutenant, that's hardly a common trait for someone in your line of work.
You're a very strange man, Mr. Fleming. You have a lovely home, a most charming wife, good neighbors. I haven't met your children because they've always been away, but I imagine they're very nice.
They have their problems.
I would have liked to have had children, but Stan says they all grow up crazy.
Only if Stan is a father.
That's very insensitive, Henry. Sometimes I wonder why I call you my best friend.
Don't, because I don't.
I will, because you are.
Men are such little boys.
Say that one more time, Susie, and so help me, you can forget about the boob job I promised you for Christmas.
Oh, yeah? I don't get the boob job, and I'm telling everyone you walk around the house wearing my dresses.
Look, why don't you two go home and fight?
Who's fighting? I'm not fighting. She's fighting.
He's impossible.
He's impossible.
Quiet, please. Everyone. Dignity. Dignity. That's better. Now, Lieutenant Davis, you have the floor.
Where the hell was I?
You were telling Henry what a marvelous life he has.
Yes, of course. Fleming, I just don't understand why you jeopardize all this. Your wife told me you were doing so well with your brokerage firm.
Yes, we had an ideal life together. Henry would leave the house at 8 and not come home until 6.
Wonderful hours.
Few women could ask for more. My life was so perfect, I didn't even feel the need to take extension courses at the university.
It's too bad you had to get caught up in something you really know very little about, Fleming.
How could you possibly know how much or how little I know?
I've always felt the less you know about anything, the better. What about those drinks, Karen?
Right. You wanted a strawberry soda and sake.
No. On second thought, how about a vanilla whammy? That's white rum, milk, and a dash of Tabasco sauce.
I'll have that, too. Maybe it'll relax me.
Make that 3.
I guess I'll go along with the crowd. How about you, Henry?
No, thanks. I'm going to need to leave soon.
He's going to Chicago.
Shut up, Stan.
Chicago? Really, Fleming?
I hate Chicago.
You told us.
Well, I just want you to know I meant it.
I'm afraid you're not going anywhere, Fleming. I'd like your gun, please.
It seems you have the upper hand, Lieutenant. And then maybe not.
I had a feeling this would happen.
Henry, before you go, can I touch your gun?
Keep away, you ninny.
This is not the way I wanted it to end, Fleming.
Give him the gun, Henry. For God's sake, give him the gun.
If he wants my gun, I'm afraid he'll have to take it.
Right now, I don't know who to root for.
Please, Henry, aren't you in enough trouble with the law?
The law, possibly. The lieutenant, I doubt it. You see, Karen, I checked the police department. There is no Lieutenant Davis on the force.
There isn't? Well, in that case, Lieutenant, or Mr. Davis, or wherever you are, I will have to ask you to explain the reason for this deception or leave the premises immediately.
I'd like to stay around to listen, but unfortunately I have a plane to catch.
Oh, Henry! Oh, the lights! Someone switch on the lights!
I got him. Henry, he's gone.
Oh, my God! Susie!
I'm afraid she's dead.
Oh, no!
And if you all notice, my gun wasn't even fired.
That damn Henry. Now who's going to go with me to Acapulco? It was a wonderful funeral. It really was.
I'm sure Susie would have liked it.
Maybe. One thing for certain, these past few days, I'm certainly getting a lot of wear out of this suit.
Well, let's hope it will be for the last time.
Why? With a red tie and handkerchief, it looks quite sporty.
Martini?
No, a navy grog.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Well, things are certainly going to be different around the house without Susie.
Rather than go home where the memories are, Stan, maybe you prefer spending a couple of days here.
No, I'll be fine. Look, I lost my wife, okay? But I feel a person has to be philosophical about these things. It's still not the end of the world. I mean, for me, anyway.
That's true.
A person can't be a sourpuss about life. It goes on, oobla-dee, oobla-da. I've taught myself to believe that everything that happens in this world happens for the best. Even if it doesn't.
That's very brave of you, Stan.
I know. Besides, I'll live it with you. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but things weren't going that smoothly with us anyway. These last few months, we were actually throwing things at each other. You know, shoes, clocks, knives.
I'm so sorry.
Actually, I miss it. Kept us both on our toes. Anyway, I made up my mind. This is not going to change my Acapulco plans.
I don't think it should. You probably need a vacation now more than ever.
That's what I say. Now, who do you think I should take? How about a hooker? It may be garish, but at least people will see I'm not looking for attachments yet.
That's strange. That clock hasn't worked in years.
Good afternoon.
Henry!
Bad news, Henry. You missed another terrific funeral.
Hello, Karen. How are the children?
Fine. Michael's at his ballet lesson, and Brenda went away for the weekend with a couple of boys.
That's nice.
That's another great outfit, Henry. What's the story with this one?
Nothing out of the ordinary. I found this terrific little men's shop in Cairo. Look, I'm so sorry about Susie. I swear I didn't shoot her.
We already know that, Henry.
You do?
Susie wasn't shot. It was heart failure. All the shooting that night frightened the poor thing to death.
Well, I can't tell you how relieved I am to hear that.
Susie had heart problems for some time. It seemed to get much worse after we got married. Of course, Henry, you're still wanted for the Peterson murder.
I told you I didn't do it. But I think I might have a good idea who did.
Really? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Care for a drink, Henry?
Yes, please.
Martini?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, that's strange. I hope I remember how to make one.
I've always wondered, Henry, what do those Arabs wear under that outfit?
Sometimes nothing.
Really? It must be very painful to ride a camel like that.
Stan, I'm willing to bet even money that Susie's a much happier woman today.
I hope you didn't come home to be difficult, Henry, because Stan's in mourning.
That's right. I almost forgot.
Henry, it's time we talked. I feel I need to explain my position. Cheers. Henry, my father's dead. A dear friend is dead. And a perfect stranger is dead. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much longer I can put up with these annoyances.
Karen, listen to me. In spite of all I've been through, there wasn't one minute that I didn't think of you. The more I brushed with death, the more I realized how important it is for a man to have a good home life.
Really? Oh, Henry, those thoughtful words almost makes up for the nightmare my life has become.
I thought it might. Are you expecting anyone?
No. All the condolence calls are being made at Stan's house.
Why aren't you there?
Too depressing. Everyone's going to be hanging around with a long face. I'm not ready for that. I'm letting Susie's family take care of all that dismal crap.
I'm almost afraid to answer it.
Please do, Karen. It could prove to be very interesting.
You know, Henry, you're playing this detective thing way over the top. It's really beginning to irritate the hell out of me.
Good.
Yes? Mrs. Fleming?
Yes?
May I please come in? Henry! Oh, Henry, thank God you're alive. I was so worried about you. Oh, thank God, thank God.
Karen, Stan, this is my secretary, Miss Havenhurst.
Hello.
By any chance, do you have a sister?
Where have you been, Henry? You have me worried sick. I tried calling everywhere. I even went down to the morgue several times. Oh, Henry, you're alive. You're alive.
Pardon me, Miss Havenhurst. Can you type?
Not very well. Why?
Just wondering.
Henry, you're in terrible trouble. You've got to get out of town.
He's just come from out of town.
I mean out of the country. I have a friend who has a boat, Henry. He can slip you into Havana. If you want, I can join you later.
Out of curiosity, Henry, how much do you pay, Miss Havenhurst?
Oh, I know you must think I'm really horrible bursting in like this. But believe me, Mrs. Fleming, I'm just as concerned about Henry as you are. By the way, you're not at all the way I pictured you.
Oh?
But I do like your hat.
Thank you.
Henry, I can have all the arrangements made by tomorrow morning. Until then, you can stay at my place where it's safe. You understand, Mrs. Fleming, it's for Henry's own good.
It is.
You damn lying, rotten, phony bitch.
Uh-oh. Trouble.
Henry!
You really take me for a prize chump, don't you?
What are you talking about?
I want some answers, even if I have to beat them out of you.
Henry, I don't think that would be politically correct.
Please, I don't know anything. You know that.
I've been shot at, beaten, chased halfway around the world, and I'm fed up. You know a lot more than you've told me. I want it all, and I want it now.
Henry, I swear.
You out with it. You hear me?
May I get you a drink, Miss Havenhurst?
Vodka on the rocks with a twist.
I'll have another one, too.
Navy grog?
No. Maybe a tequila sunrise this time.
Right. How about you, Henry?
Look, I'm trying to get something straight here. Can you hold up on the cocktail party?
Henry, there's such a thing as being a good host.
Okay, I'll have a martini.
Really? That's two in a row.
All right, Miss Havenhurst. What about the Peterson case? Do you want to tell me, or do I have to tell you?
You mean you have it figured out, Henry?
Even I'm starting to get curious. Just what is it you know, Henry?
There was no Peterson case.
What?
Oh, come on, Henry. We saw him fall out of the closet with your letter opener in his chest.
Which reminds me, I've got to get that letter opener back from the police. It's sterling silver. But go on, Henry. What do you mean there was no Peterson case?
There was a Peterson, all right, but there was never a Peterson case. It was a setup, and I was a setup-y.
I think you're pissing in the wind, Henry. but I'm willing to hear more.
It took a lot of thinking. So much thinking that I thought my brain would explode. The truth of the matter is, I never saw Peterson. I only talked to him on the phone. I only had Miss Avonhurst's word that he was even in the office.
You mean there was no Peterson?
Of course there was a Peterson. Just no Peterson case. Will you pay attention?
I'm trying, Henry. I'm trying.
It was all very simple. I was given a few phone calls, a few phony leads, and beaten up several times to make me think I was onto something. But it wasn't Peterson I was dealing with. It was Peterson's murderer. And then when Peterson was found dead, all my clues, all the phony leads, the motives suddenly disappeared, and I was left holding the bag. Am I right, Miss Avonhurst? Am I right?
Please, Henry, don't hurt me.
I knew something was wrong from the start. You don't buy a business today for only $4,500. No, I knew I was being set up right from the beginning. Am I right so far, Miss Avonhurst?
You're hurting me, Henry.
Am I right?
Okay, name them and claim them.
A vodka on the rocks.
A martini.
A tequila sunrise.
And a bloody bull for moi. Here's how.
You know, I would never really discovered vodka until a couple of months ago. Now I never drink anything else.
I'm waiting for some answers, Miss Avonhurst.
I didn't want to do it, Henry. They made me. Believe me.
Who made you?
The brothers. The Mardigian brothers.
The Mardigian brothers? Aren't they the people you bought the agency from?
That's right. But I never met them either, which I thought was rather strange.
If only you didn't dig. Didn't pry. It could have ended so smoothly.
And I would have been the fall guy.
Someone had to be. At the time, I didn't know it would be someone like you. Someone I finally cared for.
How do you like that? The poor kid's in love.
Henry, once this is all cleared up, it might be best for Miss Avonhurst to seek employment elsewhere.
Please, Henry, please. You don't know who you're dealing with. And there's still time. Get out while you still can.
Why don't you?
Don't you think I've tried?
I find that very hard to believe.
I don't. There's something about Miss Avonhurst that's extremely sincere. I'll bet she looks great in a bathing suit.
You don't believe me, do you, Henry? Look in my purse.
I'll get it.
There's a bottle of pills. Just two of those, and it would have been all over for me. I just didn't have the courage.
There is a bottle of pills here, Henry.
You were going to take your life? What a woman. Where are you from originally?
Will you keep out of this?
Sorry.
I'm in far too deep to come out clean. Oh, Henry, if only you had come into my life a little sooner.
Say, Henry, do you know anyone who owns a purple Rolls Royce?
Oh, no! It's their car! The Mardigian brothers!
A Rolls Royce? Maybe the detective business is more lucrative than I thought.
The car is empty.
I'm calling the police.
Good idea.
Well, that's odd.
What's wrong?
The phone is dead.
That means they're in the house.
I guess I'm going to go home now. Call you in the morning, Henry.
Stay right where you are, everybody.
Vito, thank God you're finally here.
You bet I am, and I'm not leaving until I get what I came for. Okay, Fleming, the next move is yours or your wife's a goner. I want that black book.
Oh, my.
Anyone care for a drink?
A Singapore sling, if you don't mind.
I'll have another vodka on the rocks.
Karen?
Nothing just now, thanks.
What about you, Henry?
Yes, another martini, please.
My God, Henry, one martini after another. Does this consistency mean you're finally getting a grip on yourself?
No, dear, it just means today I like martinis.
And I'll have a Harvey Wallbanger.
You know, Fleming, you turned out to be more of a problem than I anticipated.
I take that as a compliment.
But eventually everybody's luck runs out, doesn't it?
Does it?
I have a feeling it does, Henry.
I want that book, Fleming. I'm not leaving here without it.
Oh, he's making the rope tighter, Henry.
Be brave, dear.
I just want you to know, Henry, that I never wanted any part of this.
You keep implying that. Well, you have the gun. Prove it.
I can't.
I didn't think so.
Poor kid. Must be really in trouble.
Well, Fleming, what do you say? Do I get the book or not?
Sooner or later, Mardigian, you're going to realize you're wasting your time.
I'm sorry to hear that, Henry. Oh, just what is in this book he's after?
It's a book of names, Karen. Names and addresses of people blackmailed by the Mardigian brothers.
Blackmail? What's this all about? I expected at least espionage. What a disappointment.
It's only his first case, Stan.
The book, Fleming.
Oh, he's really hurting. killing me, Henry.
Patience, dear. It seems the little black book Mardigian wants is filled with names of people involved in white-collar crimes. The brothers were hired by various corporations to check on them. However, instead of reporting their findings, the Mardigians contacted the guilty parties and became their partners.
Yeah, so far, not bad, Fleming.
For a percentage of what was being stolen, the Mardigians promised a clean bill of health. That little operation was netting them each $1 million a year.
Boy, would I like a piece of that. Happy hour. A Singapore sling for Mardigian. Nothing for Karen. Martini for Henry. Vodka on the rocks for Miss H. And a Harvey Wallbanger for Stanley. It's cold.
Back at you.
Now, where does Peterson come in?
I was just going to ask that.
Peterson was a man who somehow got hold of the book and was blackmailing the Mardigians. Only there wasn't any Peterson. Peterson was the other Mardigian brother using the name of Peterson.
You mean one brother was ripping off the other brother?
He was a punk. He couldn't be satisfied with half the pie. He had to have all of it. When I found out he was Peterson, I planned to kill him and pin it on the sap who would buy this agency.
I knew he was the killer. I could tell by his eyes. See how close together they are, Henry? In my profession, that's usually the tip-off.
But I didn't kill him. I wanted to, but I didn't. I loved my brother.
Wait a minute. I thought you indicated that you hated your brother.
Yes, I hated him, but I also loved him. You know how those things work between siblings?
Not really. I'm an only child. My mother wanted more, but my father refused to sleep with her after me.
You wouldn't have killed your brother anyway, Vito. Not until you were in possession of the black book.
Then who did?
Someone else who knew the entire story.
Who the hell could figure it out?
You're wasting my time, Fleming. I want that book.
What makes you think I have it?
I believe I had something to do with that, Henry. In one of my phone conversations with Miss Havenhurst, I mentioned you received it in the mail. Oh, Henry, if only you were more content with your life, this all would be happening to someone else.
I want that book, Fleming.
Oh, Henry, if you won't give him the book, then at least rush things a little, will you?
I don't have the book.
Yeah, don't give me that.
Come on, Henry. I was here when you got the book in the mail.
I got a black book, Stan, but not the black book. The black book I got was a phony. The names, the addresses, Chicago, St. Louis, Miami, Cairo, all phony leads that went nowhere.
You're lying, Fleming.
Someone wanted you to think I had the book, to make you come after it, to set you up, to set me up, to play cat and mouse.
Don't be silly. There was no one else involved. I knew my brother.
Knew?
Right. He was a loner. Very mysterious. Very into himself. It had to be a solo effort.
We're all forgetting one other person, aren't we, Mr. Davis?
Very clever, Fleming. I'll take that gun, Miss Havenhurst.
How did you know he was hiding there, Henry?
I'm simply getting good at this game.
Who the hell are you?
Shall I tell him?
Be my guest.
This is your brother's lover.
My brother's lover?
Holy crap.
You mean my brother Eddie was...
Yes, gay and very proud of it.
Henry, my hands.
Shh, this is important, darling.
You and my brother, why I...
Get back. Yes, I was Edward's lover. When he was killed, I almost went to pieces.
My brother a swish? I should have suspected it. No wonder he was so neat.
I knew all about his blackmailing scheme and the whole Peterson mess. But we had an agreement. I stayed out of his profession, he stayed out of mine.
What is it you really do?
I'm an interior decorator.
Henry, my fingers. I can't feel my fingers.
Hold on, dear. We're getting close.
When I found Edward, your card was clutched in his hand and the black book was gone. I planted his body in your closet and posed as a policeman, hoping it would lead me to the black book. I deserve that black book. After all, I lived with the man for 5 years. I'm entitled to something.
How about a drink, Davis?
Yes, thank you. Any fruity liqueur will be fine.
Oh, boy. You've really come out, haven't you? One cherry herring on its way.
I'll try one of those, too, if I may.
No problem. Two cherry herrings coming up. Well, then, Henry, if Mardigian didn't do it, and you say you didn't do it, who's left with the motive?
I should think it would be obvious by now.
If you know, please tell us quickly, dear. I'm starting to lose the feeling in my neck.
The only other person who was intimate enough with Eddie to know of his dealings. Someone who had everything to gain and nothing to lose. Mardigian had a brother to lose and a partner. Davis had a lover to lose.
The only one left, it seems, would be Miss Havenhurst.
Exactly.
But she's so cute.
It's all over, Miss Havenhurst.
You're pissing in the wind, Henry.
I told him that, too. Boy, Miss Havenhurst, we had a lot in common.
What were my motives?
The best, the green-eyed monster. jealousy.
I can't feel my nose anymore, Henry.
Just a little longer, dear. You see, before Eddie turned to another sexual persuasion, he and Miss Havenhurst were quite hot and heavy for each other.
No kidding. How did you find that out, Henry?
It took a little backtracking. The neighbors, the cleaning lady at the office, the elevator operator, the Board of Health. There was also one other suspicious set of circumstances. She seemed the only one not really concerned about the Black Book. I think it's because she knows where it is.
Yes, it's true. I loved Eddie. When I found out about him and Davis, I went crazy. All these years in love with him and then being dumped for an interior decorator?
Don't you think we need love, too?
And then when he came to me with this idea of blackmailing his own brother, I knew he was no good. He'd never be any good.
The creep.
He wasn't the only creep. What about you, always pawing at me, using me whenever you wanted to, just because you knew about some bum checks I passed in Detroit?
You're from Detroit? I'm from Detroit, too. Maybe you know the Lockmans. The father ran off with an aunt of mine.
How would you like a bullet between the eyes?
Sorry. Go on, Miss Havenhurst.
Anyway, when Eddie came to me with a scheme, I saw it as a chance to get even with him, to break free. And then, when the opportunity was right, I found out where the Black Book was, and I killed him.
With my letter opener that I left in my office.
I'm sorry I had to drag you into this, Henry. Most private eyes are crumbs, but you turned out to be different. I was hoping somehow that all this could be pinned on Vito here or Davis.
What about the Black Book?
I have it. I sent Henry a phony one, knowing it would confuse things for a while and give me enough time to pull myself together. I could have been happy with you, Henry, and with the information that Black Book contained, we would have been secure enough to live the rest of our lives on Easy Street.
My hair, Henry. I can't feel my hair.
You killed a man, Miss Havenhurst.
He deserved to die.
No one has the right to take the law into their own hands.
Henry, I can't feel the inside of my head.
A few more minutes at most, sweetheart.
Now what do? We blow it to the cops and I get taken in for blackmail?
And Miss Havenhurst for murder?
I believe that since I have the gun, I hold all the aces.
You want the book, I'll give it to you. It's on the lining of my bag. Just take it and get out. I don't want any part of this anymore.
You dumb broad.
I'm afraid, Miss Havenhurst, you just signed our death warrants. Now that he has the book, he can't afford to let us live.
Don't worry. I'll try to make it pleasant. Maybe a fire or four murders and a suicide.
Whatever you decide, just hurry, please.
Your drinks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. Well, to better times.
You know, for a sissy drink, this ain't bad.
Yes, but it's so fattening. Edward discouraged me from drinking sweet drinks.
He was very weight conscious.
He had a lovely build.
He was always at the gym.
You remind me a good deal of him.
He was about 5 inches taller.
Oh, yes, I couldn't wear heels with Edward. I really prefer someone your height.
Really? Well, maybe we could work...
What the? Oh, no!
Oh, my!
Okay, Henry, hold it right there.
What are you doing?
They're dead. I poisoned them. I used the pills from Miss Havenhurst's handbag.
Again, I'm to blame.
Don't worry, Pumpkin Nose. I'm going to take care of everything from now on.
I don't understand.
Here it is in a nutshell, Henry. I'm taking Miss Havenhurst, the Black Book, and making a break for it.
You're crazy.
Maybe, but she's a terrific chick. Why should she spend the rest of her life in prison just because she made one little mistake?
Well, actually, there were two, if you count Mrs. Fleming's father. But that was really an accident. I was just trying to raise the stakes.
I'm sure I don't have to tell you, Stan, there are laws against killing.
Stop the laws, Henry. I've been living all my life with rules, and where did it get me? Everybody just thought I was a dumb jerk. Well, I'm tired of being a dumb jerk. You shook up your life, and things started to happen. Well, I'm going to shake up mine.
How?
You become a detective, I'm going to become a fugitive. Whether it's right or wrong, it may be the most exciting thing that will ever happen to me. With the Black Book in my possession and Miss Havenhurst at my side, I'm to live on the other side of the law.
I don't know why, but there was something I liked about you from the very start.
I sensed it immediately. Goodbye, Henry. Goodbye, Karen. Maybe someday, somewhere, our paths will cross again. If not, I'm sure you'll be reading about me in the papers. From this day on, I will be known as the Fox. Come on, Miss Havenhurst. You're in for the time of your life.
Ciao, folks.
Bye, Stan. Ta-ta, Miss Havenhurst. So nice to have met you. Henry, I think I'm going to pass out.
Oh, sorry, dear.
I can't believe this has all happened to us, Henry. People we knew just a short while ago. People who were part of our social fiber. Dead. Gone. On the lam.
Sad to say, but in the pursuit of justice, many innocent lives are quite often shattered forever.
It seems so, doesn't it? Shall I call the police about all these dead bodies, Henry?
No rush. At best, they wouldn't get here for a couple hours anyway.
Oh, Henry, tell me honestly, are we really any better off today than we were 2 weeks ago when all this madness began?
I can only speak for myself, Karen. I definitely am. I'm now a confident, capable detective who's looking forward to his next case, and Stan, that nut, he's finally out of the neighborhood.
I'm proud of you, Henry. Very proud of you.
I knew you would be, darling. Quite frankly, I'm proud of myself, too. Karen? There are two strangers coming up our walk.
Well, let me see. Oh, shame on you, Henry. Those are our children.
Oh.
We hope you've enjoyed Radioactive Theater's production of Fleming by Sam Bobrick, produced and directed by Catherine Thornton and Julie Standrovich, with music and sound effects by John McManaman. Featuring Jeff Raymond as Henry, Jen Enkowiak as Karen, Peter Welsh as Stan, Lorraine Mason as Susie, Julie Standrovich as Miss Havenhurst, Peter Russo as Lieutenant Davis, and Tom Hurley as Vito Mardigian. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. And now for a bit of an encore, Peter Russo, Julie Standrovich, and Alan Standrovich in Murder by Midnight, The Further Adventures of Dick Piston, Hotel Detective, by Jeff Good.
The story I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe. But every word of it is true. I know because it happened to me. But enough about me. We don't really have time for that. And by we, I mean me. Dick Piston, hotel detective. It was a Friday night in the big city. And on a Friday night, you'll find me making my rounds at the Lakeview Hotel, a two-bit armpit on the upside of downtown. Anytime before midnight, that is. After midnight, you'll catch me drowning my proverbial sorrows at the five-star dive bar in the lobby of that hotel. But at 10 minutes to midnight, I'm always here in my office, watching the clock. Not that I'm a proverbial stickler for whatever punctual people stickle for. And not that I couldn't use the overtime. But my employer had made it clear that anyone who did use the overtime would be spending all their time Xeroxing resumes at the discount copy shop on the corner. You see, the hotel had been wallowing in red ink for quite some time now, and it was likely to continue hemorrhaging proverbial money until it stopped hemorrhaging potential hotel guests. And I only wish that was a metaphor. The Lakeview Hotel had the highest mortality rate of any luxury accommodations west of Baghdad, or east of Baghdad, or in Baghdad. In fact, as hotel detective, I had personally investigated 6 unsolved murders in the last 5 weeks, and committed some. So the management wasn't entirely happy with my proverbial job performance. So that's why they told me anyone who clocked even 1 minute of unauthorized overtime would be out of a proverbial job. Literally. And by anyone, they meant me,
Dick Piston, hotel detective. And that's why at 10 minutes to midnight, I had my proverbial eyes glued to the literal clock. Because when that strikes 12, my Friday night nightmare becomes somebody else's Saturday morning problem. So if my luck holds true...
Dick Piston, I need you!
Lady Luck, you could set your watch by her.
I need your help!
I'm afraid I'm not the man you're looking for.
You're not Dick Piston?
No, I'm not helpful.
But you are the hotel detective.
For 9 more minutes I am, but there's not going to be a 10th, so I'm afraid if it's anything more time-consuming than a stuck pickle jar, I'm going to have to refer you to the day shift.
But you have to help me! I'm the victim of a crime!
Well, you're all wet, lady, and there's really not much I can do in the time allotted.
That's not the problem.
Are you sure? Because I've got a blow dryer in the desk.
Mr. Piston, please, you can't just turn your back on me.
Not in that towel, no.
Then you'll help me?
For 8 minutes I will, but that's all the time we've got.
Will that be enough?
It depends on the crime. What's yours?
I think they call it murder.
Uh-huh. And you say you're the victim?
Yes, it happened just now up in my hotel room.
You know what murder is, right?
It's the one where somebody kills someone, right?
That's the one.
Yay!
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to take your case, but I'm also going to set an egg timer. When this goes off, no matter what... Case dismissed. Is that understood?
Mr. Piston, I can't tell you how grateful I am for this.
Coming here in a towel is thanks enough.
You're welcome.
Now, if you'll take a seat, I have to make a phone call.
But aren't you going to rush up to my room and examine the scene of the crime?
Ordinarily, I would, but we don't have that kind of time. Hello, front desk. It's me, Dick Piston, hotel detective. Put me through to the kitchen.
What are you doing?
Ordering room service.
Will that speed up the investigation?
Not at all.
Then why are you doing it?
Because no man in his right mind would ever be alone in a room with a woman in a towel without at least a bottle of champagne and a half order of oysters on the way. I'll have the honeymoon special. Send it to my office pronto.
Thank you, Mr. Piston. How can I ever repay you?
Well, there is one way.
Oh, Mr. Piston, I'm a married woman.
You can never repay me.
And how did you know this was our honeymoon?
Just tell me about your murder and get it over with. If we make this quick, maybe I still have time to Xerox some resumes before morning.
Well, I was up in my room, taking a shower before dinner.
So you haven't eaten?
No, not yet. But those oysters sound delicious.
And the murder took place in the bathroom?
No, it was in the bedroom.
After your shower?
No, during.
So you were shot in the shower by someone in the bedroom?
What makes you think I was shot?
Because if it was a stabbing, you would have been in the same room with the killer.
My God! You think he was in the shower with me?
No, I think you were shot.
But I wasn't shot, look!
Or stabbed, for that matter. But it looks like you've had a close shave of some kind.
Oh, no, that's waxing.
All right, given that you're not harmed in any way...
Have you ever been waxed?
Well, what makes you think you were murdered?
Oh, I wasn't murdered.
But you said you were.
No, I said I was the victim of a crime.
And the crime was murder.
Oh, well done, Mr. Piston. With your keen eye for detail, we'll have this case sewed up in no time.
Well, if the crime is murder and you're the victim, then why are you here?
Well, I had to report it, didn't I? He was my husband, after all.
The killer?
No, the killeree.
The murder victim is your husband?
Yes, he was shot in my room, in the head, on the bed.
So you're the victim by marriage.
And this was supposed to be our honeymoon.
I see. And is that how you were dressed when you discovered the body?
Yes! I had just stepped out of the shower where I was nude. Mr. Piston, can you imagine? When I heard what sounded like gunshots and a blood-curdling scream. Naturally, I finished my shower, put on some makeup, and I raced to the bedroom right away to see what was the matter. And that's when I found him dead on the bed with a slug in his head.
Were there any signs of forced entry?
Well, he'd been dropping hints all weekend, so I was hoping... This is our honeymoon, after all.
No, I meant to the room.
Oh, no, everything seemed perfectly normal, except for the horrible dead guy lying there.
You mean your husband?
Yes, that was his name, Guy.
And he was horrible?
Oh, yes, brains everywhere.
Well, Mrs. Guy, normally this is the point in the investigation when I would rush up to your hotel room to examine the body. But we're short on time, so let's just cut to the proverbial chase.
Room service...
There's your killer.
Oh my. But how could you possibly know that?
Was your husband clinically insane?
No, not clinically.
That's how I know.
I don't understand.
And there's no time to explain. Oh, no, wait, there's 4 minutes. Well, allow me to explain. If there were no signs of forced entry, then your husband must have let the killer into the room himself. which means the murderer must have been someone your husband knew personally or expected shortly, a bellhop, for example.
Why would he be expecting a bellhop?
Because your husband was not clinically insane. And since no man in his right mind would ever be alone in a room with a woman in a towel without at least a bottle of champagne and a half order of oysters on the way, and your husband knew that you were about to enter the room, we know that your husband must have ordered something from room service.
It makes perfect sense.
And as you've just witnessed, the service in this hotel is incredibly prompt.
Yes, I'm impressed. We ought to make sure and leave him a big tip.
So your husband's order must have arrived at the room while you were still in the shower, yet you haven't eaten.
Because there wasn't any food.
Exactly. And if there were no edibles in evidence, it can only mean that whoever brought the food removed it immediately after the murder to conceal the fact that the killer came from the kitchen.
I don't know why I didn't see it before.
Which means your husband had to have been murdered by the night shift bellhop, who gained access to your room under the pretense of delivering a romantic appetizer, which you never got the chance to enjoy, because after murdering your husband in cold blood, and not wanting to leave any evidence that the killer was a member of the hotel staff, he removed the telltale oysters and champagne from the scene. Something that only a member of the hotel staff would do, leaving in their place the even more telltale absence of oysters and champagne, which confirms his guilt.
But why would this bellhop want to kill my husband?
Because unbeknownst to your late husband, this bellhop was having an extramarital affair with his wife.
He's married?
No. No, you. He was having an affair with you.
What? How could you possibly know that?
Because you still haven't asked me the one question that any widow in her right mind would want to know the answer to in this situation. Why would this bellhop want to kill your husband?
But I did ask.
You did? When?
Just now. Just a second ago. I said it right away. It was practically the first thing that popped into my mind.
Oh, right. Well, never mind. Huh.
You really haven't been paying attention to anything I've said, have you, Mr. Piston?
Well, for God's sake, you're wearing a towel.
Oh, that's no reason to accuse me of being an adulteress. And worse yet, an accomplice to murder.
You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Accepted. Shame about the bellboy, though.
Yeah. Listen, my boss will have my proverbial head if she finds out I shot another innocent bystander. Do you think we could just agree that, this was self-inflicted?
Yes, of course, Mr. Piston. He looked suicidal the moment he walked in here.
Aha!
Oh!
A likely story.
But it's your story.
Yes, it is. But what widow in her right mind would agree to cover up the murder of a man who had nothing to do with her husband's murder unless he, in fact, had everything to do with the murder and she was in on it?
But that could only mean two things.
No, one. It could only mean one thing.
I think you're forgetting one possibility, Mr. Piston.
What's that?
That the widow is not, in fact, in her right mind.
Oh, well, this is a little embarrassing. For both of us. But it looks like I was wrong again. And my shift is almost over, so I guess you're free to go.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Piston. You don't know what a relief this is. You may not have solved my husband's murder, but knowing I'm innocent of all charges is a huge load off my mind. What little there is left of it, I mean. Ooh, how can I possibly thank you?
Well, we've got champagne and oysters. And I'm off in 2 minutes.
Oh, Mr. Piston, I think we can think of something.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
Neither did I.
You're alive? But that's impossible.
Actually, no. You're a terrible shot, Piston.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that.
Don't be. You were right about us, Piston. Until recently, this lady and I were having a torrid affair behind her husband's back and over his dead body.
Ew.
At least I thought we were. I thought we were in love. But now I see she was just using me to get what she wanted.
A dead husband and an airtight alibi. But what makes you think she was using you?
What woman in her right mind would leave her husband for another man only to throw herself into the arms of a third man, a third-rate hotel detective, over the lifeless corpse of her dead lover, the second man? Unless, of course, she never truly loved him to begin with and was only using him to get rid of her wealthy husband, who she also didn't love. And she probably didn't care much for the detective either.
But if you'd waited a couple minutes, she might have cared a little bit.
Forget it, Piston. She used us. We're all victims here.
Well, actually, not me.
No, I suppose not. But if you got a minute, I think I can correct that oversight.
Oh, wow, look at the time.
It looks like yours is up, Dick Piston, hotel detective.
But why would you want to kill me? I haven't done anything to you, besides shooting you a minute ago.
I think you're forgetting the possibility that I, too, might not be in my right mind.
No, I took that into account when you murdered two people at your place of work.
What was that?
Your luck running out.
No, it sounded more like an egg timer. Ow!
Case dismissed. It was a Saturday morning in the big city. And on a Saturday morning, my proverbial work here is done. Literally.
Audio Journal, the radio reading service of Central Massachusetts, serving visually and print-impaired listeners since 1987. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.